What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is The Art of Being Well. What's up, and welcome to The Art of Being Well. I am a leading functional medicine expert. I get to consult people around the world via webcam, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, which is my newest book, The Inflammation Spectrum, and Ketotarian. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, our telehealth center, the books, there's lots of free resources there for you as well. You can check it all out at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners of The Art of Being Well, we're giving away free signed books of your choice. You can pick whatever one you want. Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, Intuitive Fasting. All you have to do is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the podcast. And no matter when you listen to this episode, every month my team and I will be going through the reviews on Apple Podcasts and randomly picking a winner. And I'll reach out to you personally, ask what book you want, who you want it signed to, and we'll send it out to you. If you don't want to leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review, that's totally cool. You also can go on Instagram, message me at Dr. Will Cole, just screenshot the review, and we'll be going through the Instagram messages and the Apple Podcast reviews and randomly picking winners every month. Yeah. All right, let's get to today's show. It is a special episode that we have peppered through every month. It's called Mental Health is Physical Health, where we explore the bidirectional relationships between mental health and physical health, how our thoughts and emotions, stress in our current life, trauma from our past, impacts our physical health, i.e. raising inflammation, throws off our hormones, dysregulates our nervous system, and conversely, how physical health, i.e. underlying gut problems or chronic infections or nutrient deficiencies, how those physiological things impact our mind and emotions, impact our mental health. So it's going to impact our emotions and our mood and all of that stuff. So the physiological and the psychological and their interconnectedness, the bidirectional relationship between the two. So to explore this concept that we see play out in people's lives around the world for the past 12 plus years, thousands of people at the telehealth clinic, to talk about how this plays out in people's lives and giving you all actionable things you can integrate into your life right now. You're going to get so many what we call in healthcare clinical pearls, but it's like life pearls. We're going to do, like, what are you going to do to bring into your life to just elevate and improve your art of being well? So to do that, we have both sides of the coin. We have the yin and the yang. We have the mental health side, and representing mental health on one side is Candace.
We sound like we're about to go boxing.
Yeah.
A little bit. Right. Well, I just, when he said life pearls, I thought of us as like life pearls. Like we're both sitting here in a shell.
Yes,
I like that. I love it, Candace.
Yeah.
Dr. Cole and the life pearls.
And then I think of Alice in Wonderland. Remember when, I don't know if they were pearls or clams, when the walrus goes and eats the whole family.
Yes. Oh, I love it so much. Is that wrong? I love when he eats all of the little oysters. They're oysters.
Yeah, right. Oh, how I digress.
Wait, were you thinking of the oysters? Oh, life pearls. That's what you
life
think
pearls.
Of.
Life pearls. I was thinking of that scene from Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Candace can give us some feedback later on another episode of how the digression also, of Dr. Pearl, Cole works.
side note, pearls are also used in traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years. Really good source. It's as adaptogenic qualities. It's mineral rich. It's great for your hair. I have it in Holy Mane.
Oh, my favorite, by the way.
Oh, you love Holy Mane?
Yeah, and I sneak it. My kids aren't listening. I sneak it in my kids' stuff all the time, and they have no idea.
I love it. Well, your daughter does listen to the podcast, so now you're screwed.
Jillian, don't tell the rest of the family.
But Holy Mane is tasteless. They would never know.
They would never know.
We'll put the link in the show notes. Yeah, it's a beautiful powder with pearl and marine collagen. Anyways, the best hair of your life. So you're representing the mental health world.
Yes, I am a mental health and wellness coach and patient doula here at the Functional Medicine Telehealth Center.
Love it. And we have on the physical health side of the ring, we have Andrea.
Hello, I am Andrea. You have met me on previous episodes. I am one of the lead health coaches as well as the clinic manager. So I am overseeing all the patient care.
Yeah. So let's get it. Today, we're going to talk about another last episode like this, the last mental health is physical health episode. We talked about adaptogens. We talked about the circadian rhythm of cortisol throughout the day. Now we're going to talk about something else that will really mess up your mental health. Sit number two, it is going to be chronic infections. It's going to be specifically, let's talk about gut problems specifically, like dysbiosis in the gut. And then we'll talk about different chronic infections in subsequent episodes for future episodes. And the caveat for today's conversation is there's a lot of variables to consider. These things do not happen in a vacuum. The body's interconnected. So the scope of this episode is going to just talk about one lane. We don't have 10 hours to talk about all the lanes within a case. So for you to get something out of this, let's stay focused. We're going to talk about underlying gut dysbiosis. You do not have to necessarily have digestive problems that have underlying gut components to your mental health issues. So many people are going to the bathroom just fine. Maybe not. Many of them don't, but some of them do. They're pretty much not extreme digestive issues, but they have things like anxiety and depression and fatigue and brain fog. And their gut is their second brain. You guys hear me talk about this all the time, but your gut is formed from the same fetal tissue when babies are growing in their mother's womb. And they are inextricably linked for the rest of our life through what's known as the gut-brain axis. So your gut is known as the second brain. It even looks like the brain if you think about it. Your intestines do. 95% of serotonin is made in the gut, stored in the gut. Dopamine made in the gut, stored in the gut. So these are really important. When you think of the vagus nerve, which connects the gut and the brain, that regulates the autonomic nervous system and the parasympathetic resting, digesting tone, that is the connection between the brain and the gut. So this is like the icon of this episode, these episodes of mental health is physical health. So things in the gut can impact your brain. And people may think, oh, I don't have any, my gut's, they just relegate it to this sort of separate thing, but the body's interconnected. So let's talk about this. We would do health history for a patient. We'd ship labs wherever they're at. One of the labs we look at in this scenario is looking at their gut health, looking at their microbiome health, looking at its implication in their mental health. And one of the things we can find is dysbiosis, bacterial imbalances, yeast and fungal overgrowth,
parasitic
overgrowth, even mycotoxins, fungal mold toxin overgrowth in their gut. And that is their second brain not as healthy, and it's impacting their mental health. So what are some things we can do, Andrea, on a physical side to really help this person feel better, help their second brain in turn improve their mood?
Absolutely. I mean, again, if you keep listening to these episodes, we're going to talk about all the different areas that you can help mental health through physical health and healing the body. But for today, if we're going to talk about specific to gut, that antimicrobial overgrowths, the parasitic issues, yeast fungal, these are going to cause dysbiosis, which is going to then put stress on your gut-brain axis, gut hormone axis. So if I'm sitting across from a patient and they're brain fogged and they're tired and they're you know, their cycle is irregular. I'm not going to just look to see if they're having regular bowel movements. I'm going to think about that connection and think about what could be contributing that. What's the upstream issue that's contributing to those downstream issues?
But normal bowel movement, for everybody, just to interject here, is what we say, 1 to 2 snakes a day on the Bristol chart. Look at the Bristol chart. Google it, people. Look at your bowel movement formation. People think, oh, my bowel movements are normal, and they're going like every 2 or 3 days, and it's not normal on the Bristol chart. So look at frequency and look at formation.
Yes, absolutely. Because there's a whole generation of people out there who didn't want to talk about their bowel movements and what they went through their entire life.
Thanks,
thinking,
boomers.
Yeah. Going through their entire life thinking go to the bathroom 1 time a week was normal. It is not normal. So definitely take Dr. Cole's advice on that and look that up.
We celebrate that in the group all the time.
Really?
Yes.
The patient group?
Yeah. So we share Wednesday wins. No one in this room would be surprised how often bowel movements are mentioned, but we're breaking that stigma.
I love that. We're literally destigmatizing like a whole group of people, doing it together, which is even better. Normalize bowel movements, guys.
Absolutely. I have a husband and 2 sons, and this is my job. I talk about poop regularly, and that is quite all right because it's normal, and if it's not normal, we need to talk about it. But if we're talking about things that we can do to help support that physical health, that can help support mental health, I think that we can talk about natural products, natural antimicrobials that can help support rebalancing the gut. And one of those things is, not only is it a natural antimicrobial, but it's also a food medicine, in my opinion, because it's a food. And one of the things that I want to talk about is multi-tiered different approaches. And Manuka honey is an awesome food medicine, not only because of health benefits and propolis and all other different things that can be contained within Manuka honey, but if we're talking from an antimicrobial standpoint, antiparasitic standpoint, there is clinical research surrounding this, that having Manuka honey regularly can help regulate the gut. I love this one study, and Manuka honey consumption associated with a decrease of H. pylori. And if you know H. pylori, it is a funky little bacteria, can cause a lot of digestive issues and very easily can become overgrowth. Obviously, we know we can have things in the gut. For every 1 human cell, we have roughly 10 bacterial cells. We need bacteria, but the problem is when these things become dysbiotic in nature. And with this study, it showed with that decreased risk of H. pylori, it was in 150 patients that had decreased digestive problems and less H. pylori present. So it's not just, you know, used for centuries, which has also been used in that capacity too.
So true.
And if you're not thinking of just the gut, but just to give you understanding of how Manuka honey can be a food medicine and has been used for years, can even be used topically for infections. It's been used for burns. It's been used for wound cleansing and cleaning and putting it on top of topically so that your body can heal naturally too. It also has been shown that you can use this in irrigation and it helps with sinus issues and had improved outcomes after surgery. These people had less bacteria because they used Manuka honey. And it's a food medicine. You can go get this at Whole Foods, guys. You can get this on Amazon.
Yep.
And it has these wonderful properties that are antimicrobial, antiparasitic, balancing for the gut microbiome. And you can use it topically for that gut-skin axis connection too.
Love it. And the main active antibiotic component in Manuka honey is something called methylglyoxal. So methylglyoxal is the compound. And what you'll see is the different brands out there, the people that are curating and providing this to consumers, they'll have a scoring that is typically a third-party scoring, and the higher the scoring is going to be, the better. The more active compounds that make it beneficial, the immune-supporting benefits.
I wonder how you get that job, honey scoring. Well, what are those job titles?
It involves a poo named Winnie. He's staying employed through the economy problems.
He probably has the best gut.
He really does.
You have Winnie the Pooh laugh. Can you please do it?
Oh my goodness, I don't. He goes, I don't know why that delights.
Oh, it does.
It literally brought me so much joy.
Yeah. It's from pure joy. That's where Winnie the Pooh's center is. He's a joyous
because he character. Has a gut microbiome that's connecting with his brain.
And I think his belly he has, that's not from like chronic stress or anything like that. I think that's just
love
or his shape or joy.
Fluff.
Yeah.
Just a little fluff. And there is a book out there. I've never read it, but I know it's basically, I would paraphrase, like the Zen of Winnie the Pooh. Like
I
the,
didn't even
the
know
lessons
that.
Of I Winnie
need that
the
book.
Pooh.
If yeah, anybody's I'm, listening and wants a Christmas
it down.
Gift for me.
Write it down. We'll have to put it in the show notes. Josh, we'll have to find it. We'll help Josh find it, who does all the back end stuff for us. Thanks, Josh. So yeah, Manuka Honey also just has a lot of cool studies about it, not just H. pylori, which Andrea mentioned. It also has been shown to improve other staph, strep, people that have other bacterial overgrowth as well. It's a great tool to bring into your life. Everyone now talks about how critical magnesium is for us. My fellow colleagues in functional medicine, like Dr. Mark Hyman, experts like Andrew Huberman, and all of the health industry authorities and doctors, we all concur. There is a long list of symptoms and diseases that can be treated and even cured with magnesium. This is a huge problem because magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all diseases and keep you from performing optimally. Now, I have to say, I'm looking at labs all day long at my functional medicine telehealth center, and most people are magnesium deficient, and it's impacting their energy levels, it's impacting their brain function, it's impacting their sleep, it's impacting so many things in the body. A magnesium I love is from BioOptimizers. Their Magnesium Breakthrough supplement is the only product in the market with all 7 types of magnesium, and it's specially formulated to reach every tissue in the body to provide maximum health benefits. BioOptimizers Magnesium Breakthrough gives you access to the full spectrum of magnesium, which can dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels and focus. Right now, you can try BioOptimizers Magnesium Breakthrough and any other BioOptimizers product for 10% off. Just go to magbreakthrough.com/WillCole. That's magbreakthrough.com/WillCole. That's magbreakthrough.com/WillCole. And use code WillCole to boost your intake of magnesium and start feeling better today. Electrolyte deficiencies, electrolyte imbalances are something that I see so often when I'm looking at labs, and it impacts so many different pathways within the body. It can impact your energy levels. It can impact brain fog if you have electrolyte imbalances. It will impact your sleep. It'll impact cravings. It's just, you want to make sure you're supporting your electrolyte balance. The way that I support my electrolyte balance and the way that I recommend my patients, all my patients that have listened to the podcast will know this is my go-to recommendation for all things electrolytes. That is Element. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't. It contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio. That's 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium with none of the junk, no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no fillers, no BS. Element is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs and is perfectly suited for any type of way that you eat. If you eat keto, high carb, low carb, paleo, vegan, carnivore, you need to check this out. Electrolytes facilitate hundreds of functions in the body. If your electrolytes are off, again, it's going to impact hormone regulation, nutrient absorption, fluid balance, nerve impulses, nerve conduction. So if you're struggling with fatigue, brain fog, headaches, muscle cramps, sleeplessness, you want to make sure you're supporting your electrolytes. Right now, Element is offering the Art of Being Well listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. That's 8 single serving packets free. You have to try these different flavors. So freaking good. Get yours at drinkelement.com/WillCole. This deal is only available through this link, my friends. Go to drinkelement.com/WillCole. drinkelement.com/WillCole. What's the next one that you love?
This one is really common. And even, I mean, I can remember being a child and there were certain parts of my life where my family tried to be as naturally minded as they could. And I remember this awful smelling oil that burned my nose like pizza. I don't know if that gives anybody a clue of what I'm going to say, but oregano oil.
Oregano, as you say in the UK.
No, I'm not going to do that. But.
I've never had my nose burned by pizza, so I had no idea where you were going with that. Do you have a sensitivity to those things?
No, it's just a very strong, like,
I think your mom was using too much oregano.
I think she was using, oregano. Yeah. Yeah, I do think that's one of the things. I actually remember having too much of it and getting sick from it. And I remember
she was overdosing that. 100%,
but that's defeats the purpose. I don't know if anybody else has
experienced. That's another episode.
That's a whole other episode of parenting. But yeah, I remember that was one thing. But it smells like pizza. If you've never, like, to me, that's what it smells like. And oregano oil has been a part of my life in some sort of tincture capsule or something like that for a really long time, even before I got here. But it has very similar properties to what we've already mentioned, but it's antiparasitic, it has antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial, even antioxidant properties. And it can be used in many different forms. Like I said, it can be tinctures, it can be capsules. Most of the time it's going to be in a capsule. And a study that we were looking at with this, and I think it's something that we're seeing with patients because it's in some of the blends of things that we use for patients with chronic infections, but this could help kill off food poisoning, urinary tract infections, diarrhea, pneumonia, staph infections. We've seen it with antimicrobial properties of rebalancing the gut with, you know, even normal bacteria that's maybe thriving a little too much or...
SIBO.
SIBO, exactly.
Yeah, normal bacteria, but it's growing into where it shouldn't be.
Exactly. And a lot of times due to not having enough bowel movements because everything's getting backed up into that small intestine. And that's where you can start to see these natural products are more effective in some cases than antibiotics because they're not disrupting the entire gut microbiome and they're helping with a rebalancing effect, but also addressing some of those antimicrobial properties of things like SIBO and even aggressive, more opportunistic bacteria as well. And these are things that can be autoimmune triggering. And then you have these, you know, these bacteria in your gut that could be there, but then due to dysbiosis, due to the nature of their overgrowth, maybe there's other biotoxins that are helping these accumulate within the gut. Maybe it's just true dysbiosis of the gut, SIBO, constipation driven, whatever the reason being. But by using these natural products like oregano oil, you can go in and help with rebalancing the microbiome and killing off some of that bacteria.
Love that. One that I have on that same note, with keeping it pizza themed, garlic. Do they use garlic in pizza? I feel like, is that a thing that humans do?
Are you that disconnected?
I am that disconnected.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Gluten-free pizza.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if like it's like a normal
it's in the
thing.
Sauce.
Because
typically.
You like garlic, right?
I so do,
like,
I love
and
garlic.
I do too. So sometimes I lose touch with that as well.
But like it's in the sauces, right? I don't the point is I don't make the sauce to know, but I'm assuming there's some garlic in there. So allicin is the compound, the antimicrobial compound within garlic. One study found that just a dosage of 1,200 milligrams of allicin alone helped eradicate, again, H. pylori, which is a good barometer for, because it is so virulent, it's so difficult to get rid of oftentimes. If it can get rid of H. pylori, and get rid of lots of things. But it got rid of it out of 34 of 60 patients, not bad when you look at the stats of different antibiotics too, treated for 14 days. And it's also been shown to kill Staph aureus, Streptococcus. It's been shown to protect the body from other bacterial toxins, like you mentioned, those lipopolysaccharides, by reducing the production of different bacterial toxins, biotoxins.
Yeah. And you said allicin? How do you spell that?
A-L-L-I-C-I-N.
It sounds like the girl's name, but I think really, isn't that just the C switched out for an S?
I don't know. There's different ways to spell Allison. It's like Megan. It's like Megan and Christy.
Like all the names.
The different name spellings. Yeah. One of those things. Another one that I love, I'm stealing all your thunder, Andrea, sorry.
Oh,
but I love cat's claw. Cat's claw has a lot of cool science around it. The name for cat's claw in the original South American indigenous language, the Ashaninka tribe, the Ashaninka people, they call it cemento. Mm-hmm. And we use cat's claw, different forms of it. The specific strain of cat's claw or the indigenous cemento name that we have is higher in what are called POAs, which are pentacyclic oxynidyl alkaloids, or POAs. So oftentimes, cat's claw will have higher levels, they'll have mixed levels of POAs and TOAs, which are the tetracyclic alkaloids, which are these antimicrobial compounds. And they both can be immunomodulating. They both can be beneficial for supporting your gut microbiome. But there's some compelling evidence to say the strains that are higher in the POAs and lower in the TOAs are the more beneficial as far as the effectiveness to get rid of these really difficult chronic infections. So that's one that I love as well as cat's claw.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did steal my cat's claw. Thanks.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was on your list. I assumed that it was because we love it so much.
It's literally on my desk. This is one of those personal plugs that I'm going to throw in there that I use. So it's not just, I'm not just saying it clinically, it's personal. It is something that I use. I do enjoy it. I do think it made a difference for me. But if we want to keep in line with the food theme, because clearly that's where I'm going today, ginger is another great antimicrobial that
works. You would
not
use ginger on pizza, I would assume that.
No, I don't know.
But you're not making the sauce, so you don't know.
I mean, these people could make an Asian pizza.
Okay.
It doesn't just have to be the standard Italian style. I could make an Asian pizza with ginger.
I would not put ginger in my pizza.
But ginger is so easy to talk about, again, from just when we were mentioning the Manuka honey. It can be introduced in the whole food form too, which I think oftentimes we think these things have to be tinctures, capsules, powders, which they're beneficial. And obviously those are going to be titrated and have the appropriate amounts, and they're going to be a little bit more regulated in that sense. But just even bringing in ginger root and making your own tea, shaving this in, steeping it in some hot water, that's a very easy way to cook. And they're the different mechanisms within ginger is the gingerol. Am I saying that correct? Mm-hmm. It's going to help with other compounds and that have antimicrobial and antibiofilm, which I think is important to talk about. So ginger isn't just going to help with rebalancing with the antimicrobial properties, but it's also going to break through the mechanisms that protect these chronic infections in the first place.
Yeah. So the biofilm is this mucosal barrier within the body. And we see a lot of difficult cases that have very pathogenic biofilms, for lack of a better term. And a lot of these bacterial, opportunistic and pathogenic bacteria can hide within the biofilm. So you're taking these antimicrobials, they're not always getting all of what we need to be getting because of a biofilm. So we need biofilm disruptors. So you're saying there's studies to show that ginger can act as a mild biofilm disruptor.
Absolutely.
Well. That's cool.
And so it has that double properties of not only just being antimicrobial, but actually being effective at breaking through that in the first place. And I really love that when we're talking about gut and you're talking about health and mental health, this is also, there's a study that shows that the ginger extract has reduced stress induced damage in the gut. So meaning that stress-induced damage and also inhibited acid production, which allows for the body to begin to heal naturally and heal the gut as a whole.
Yeah, it's a good soother anyways. Yeah. Like everyone
ginger
knows
broth,
that. Ginger broth, Glangal, which is a relative of ginger broth. We use those for patient protocols from a food standpoint too. But you can start seeing it. We think of it as just soothing. Well, what are the mechanisms? Well, it's biofilm impacting. It is calming inflammation as well as an antimicrobial. So we think of it as like one thing.
Yes.
But it's really not.
No.
And like even cat's claw that I mentioned, like it is anti-inflammatory. It's an antioxidant. It inhibits tumor necrosis factor, like another inflammatory protein. It does a lot of things. So we think in such very specific reductive ways.
Yes.
Because we like that. Like it's like the science way. It's like, that's the thing. We cannot reduce something from nature to just that. We will for the sake of the show. But for the sake of like, we have to realize it is a whole food with a lot of synergistic benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why when you're talking about these things, you're going to see them incorporated into a lifestyle that is nutritionally focused as well as supplemental focused, because these have multifaceted effects on your health. And we should honor our food and honor the sources of these things and what they do and how they can help us. And by recognizing the properties that they have, it allows you to cook more efficiently in a way that you bring in things that are not just taste well, but also nourish and help with balancing the body. And if you're talking about the mind-body connection, body-mind connection, you need to really correlate this as a whole health protocol. So you're bringing in these antimicrobials to help support your gut, but you're supporting your gut so you can support your mental health. And you can do that through many different means.
Yeah. Think of how many supplements you've seen on the market and how many of them have no medical backing or clinical data behind the efficacy of the product. That's why I've been loving the MD-approved plant-based medicine company, MD Bio. MD Bio's natural products focus on sleep, anxiety, pain, and immunity. You need to check them out. I love these guys. So many people have a problem with getting a good night's sleep. I see it so much with patients, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep. MD Sleep Soft Gels from MD Bio has been a game changer for so many people that I know. MD Bio was created by four award-winning doctors who spent over 3 years developing their products for sleep, anxiety, pain, and immunity. They ran observational trials on their own patients and are now undergoing double-blind clinical trials to confirm the amazing results. Trust a brand that's recommended by doctors, backed by science. Try MD Bio today. They are so confident in their products, they are giving the Art of Being Well listeners a free starter pack. Right now, you can get any 10-count sample of products for absolutely free. Thanks, MD Bio. Thank you so much, honestly. But only, my friends, you can only get this when you go to mdbiowellness.com. Enter promo code WILLCOLE. Again, that's mdbiowellness.com. Use promo code WILLCOLE to get that free starter pack right now. People age at different speeds, and the date on your license may not represent your inner biological age at all. If you're looking for ways to extend your health span and slow down the aging process, the keys to health and longevity run in your blood. That's why Inside Tracker provides you with a personalized plan to improve your metabolism, reduce stress, improve your sleep, and optimize your health for the long haul. Created by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics, Inside Tracker analyzes your blood, DNA, and fitness tracking data to identify where you're optimized and where you are not. You'll get a daily action plan with personalized guidance on the right exercise for your body, right nutrition and foods to focus on for your body, and supplementation for your body. It's bioindividuality at its best. As a functional medicine doctor, I love what Inside Tracker stands for. What I also love, you have to add what they call Inner Age 2.0. Inner Age 2.0, you can add it to any plan for a definitive calculation of your true biological age. You're going to be shocked by the results because you can actually see, based on these lab biomarkers, how you're aging from the inside out. Wow. For a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/art of being well. That's insidetracker.com/art of being well. Or you can use code WILLCOLE at checkout to get that 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Let's go on the other side of the coin. What's something we can do on the mental health side to impact our physical health?
Yeah, I have a great one, and this is for Andrea, but I have a quick question for Andrea. Is that okay?
Go for it.
So when you're talking about this being multifaceted foods, and I love this conversation because it really does bring us back to that integration. Andrea, for you specifically, how do you integrate the mindfulness of the nourishment or the multifaceted nature of food into your daily practice? Do you do anything to honor that?
I do, actually. This is something that I have throughout my life had disordered eating and not recognizing what food should be used for and why I was using it. And then even start to get, if you get sick and deal with things like I have with autoimmunity, you can start to create orthorexia around this and even fearing good, healthy food. And so for me, incorporating mindfulness practices around food is really beneficial. I am eating because I care for myself. I am eating because food is nourishing to me. So I love to understand food. I love to understand how it helps me. And I love that recognizing that is also caring for myself and my family. And that is really important to me. So I love to pick foods that not only taste good, but I know are going to nourish. And I love to incorporate them together and make food exciting. It doesn't have to be boring. You don't have to eat dry lettuce and, you know, eat grass and stand on your head and rub your belly to heal. But understanding and recognizing how these things work is very beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. I just wanted to hear your response. And I'm not going to make you stand on your head and rub your belly, but I am going to have you stand up at this point. And it's Andrea's turn. You won't need your mic. Andrea, you're going to check in with yourself as you stand. Give yourself a little bit of room. And Dr. Cole's going to be my host here for a second and narrate what Andrea is doing. So Andrea, you can close your eyes and check in with yourself. If you would like to, I could invite you to soften your belly. You can relax the back of your tongue. You can soften your eyes, but those are all options. This is up to you. And what we're going to do is just have you swing your arms back and forth, like just a gentle twist that's going to start even from your spine. Yeah. So watching Andrea, what do you see her do initially?
So it's a little uncomfortable for her at first. But okay, lean into it, Andrea. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, and Andrea did something that I love to point out is she wanted to do it right.
Yes.
Did you notice she followed to the letter of the law? So Andrea, I'm going to let you just loosen up and you just twist side to side, like how you feel. The speed doesn't matter. The air that you create as you're whipping your arms back and forth doesn't matter. Just kind of swing back and forth. And we're going to have her keep doing this. Now, what she is doing is a very gentle somatic practice, right? So you're going to hear in the wellness space, if you're not hearing it already, a lot about somatic experiencing. And really, that's a body-based trauma therapy. And it's designed to help process and release trauma.
Mm.
But all of these practices can be done to just modulate stress.
Regulate your nervous system.
And support, the autonomic nervous system, and which communicates to the gut, back and forth, brain gut through the vagus nerve, right?
Yeah.
So as Andrea is swinging along here, her cervical rotations are stimulating branches of the vagus nerve.
Wow.
As she's getting into it, have you noticed any changes?
She's looser in the best of ways.
She is crossing her midline. So we have multiple midlines on the body, but you know, just like Ginger, these practices have multifacets. So the crossing the midline helps our brain integrate sensory info. And I think it actually probably helps our gut. It's probably a more holistic process there. Increases body awareness and even critical thinking. So there she's crossing the midline. She's stimulating the vagus nerve. And our body also has something called the frequency finding response. And whether we are moving rhythmically, walking, or even tapping, our body finds that frequency or finds that repetition, that rhythm. Mm-hmm. And part of the brain hooks into that. And that once it has something it can follow, frequency following response, it's able to turn down or to actually turn on what the parasympathetic. So she's probably experiencing a little bit of that natural rhythm too. So Andrea, it's been swinging for about a minute.
And I feel like just watching her swing her arms back and forth. She's also beyond, you said, like somatically calming the nervous system down, regulating the vagus nerve. But I would assume from a yogic standpoint, that's kind of massaging the gut as physically as well.
Ooh, I love
like
that.
Like directly, not just indirectly through the crossing the midline. Very cool.
So did you feel any shifts? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I am a personality type that wants to follow directions appropriately. I didn't realize when you told me to relax the back of my tongue and relax my eyes, didn't realize I had those tensed, but I did. And so that was good for me to help my face calm, like relax a little bit, which then helped me feel less tense. And then as I was moving and swinging my arms back and forth, I was trying to feel what rhythm felt good.
I
did find a fluid motion that didn't feel like I was forcing myself too far, but I also did notice that my body relaxed while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So my rhythm changed a little bit where it was becoming more glided and easier. Mm-hmm. And I kept reminding myself with Candace's voice in the back of my head, relax your tongue, relax your eyes. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. But yes, it was very calming. And my spine actually feels better. And you're right, my gut, I actually felt like, you know, sitting down doing and recording this, I felt that actually released a little bit of tension I had in my body.
Yeah.
And you think about it too, she increased by stimulating the vagus nerve, physically moving her body in that way, that specific way, it's increasing that neural output, nourishing that gut. It's like you're increasing blood flow, you're increasing nerve flow, you're supporting that parasympathetic, which is the rest, digest, gut health space within the nervous system. So yeah, this is cool. I do not know, just so everybody knows this, I do not know what Candace has planned. And she doesn't even know what the physical side has planned, but it's working beautifully. It's so interconnected.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, there's the other thing too, like we live in a lot of stress, and what these practices are able to do is move or burn the stress hormones. because you were like, we were excited to, you know, to come do the podcast or whatever's happening in our day. I actually got a flat tire coming in right as I was pulling into the parking lot. They're looking at me. They didn't know. And so I stood in the back and did this practice myself just because I could. It doesn't disrupt anyone. You don't have to leave your office. Andrea, you could close your door and swing if this felt good to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And same thing. So if you want to go deeper with these practices, you can look for you can look up somatic experiencing and find practices, again, that feel good to you. If it doesn't feel good, you stop and let your body lead you into this. There's no wrong way to do it. There's no side effect of moving your body. Absolutely. So that's what I would say. If you like this, you know, just search into it and let it be Winnie the Pooh, like super easy, super fun in that spirit. This doesn't have to be hard at all.
And what the research around somatic therapies that Candace is talking about, it's not just the stress of the day, but when you really dig into this, this can really start to untangle stuff from your past that's living in your body that you're living out. So I don't know if you want to speak on that a little bit.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I would also say that for some people, you can do shaking and, you know, you can do this in a very gentle way, but emotions can come up and get released because your body does process and it's doing this. So lean in, listen to your body, but never hesitate to also work with a practitioner, because they're going to help you create that safe space. If you have some real stuff to move out of your system, you can do that in a way that feels very safe. So, and for some people, this may be too intense.
Yeah. Well,
then there's so many other practices that you can try. So I would say seeking out a coach to walk you through, seeking out a group. I did a lot of these practices in a group context where I had six other women and we were all sharing what the practices felt like to us. When we talk about nourishing, that was a really nourishing thing to do. And I would recommend it as well.
That's great. And for further learning about this, the other episodes that I'm thinking about that touch on this, not in this way, but they can further learning, is the episode with Janine Kreft, Dr. Janine Kreft, and also Lauren Roxburgh.
Yes.
So go back, listen to the Lauren Roxburgh episode and the Janine Kreft episode if you want to learn more about somatic therapies and this topic that we're talking about. Great.
Love
conversation.
It.
All right, before we go, we have a special conversation with one of our patients. So let's check in right now. Brooke, my friend, thanks so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story.
Of course. Thank you for asking me, and I'm happy to be here.
So just to frame today's conversation, being a clinician, when I'm consulting people, I'm seeing people at all different points of their journey, and there's this sort of line of this. When I'm first meeting people, or even people even on social media or listen to the podcast, they're on the other side of impossible. Like they are on the other side of, this seems so overwhelming, I don't know where to even start. And I just thought, okay, talking to people, different types of people that are my patients, whoever was willing to share their story, whatever they're comfortable with sharing, like let's give people an inside view of what healing looks like, and the fact that healing is nonlinear and isn't pretty sometimes, but I want people to hear the real raw, like what it looks like. So there's this sort of mystique can be removed, I guess, of the whole process. So thank you for being comfortable with doing that.
Yeah, of course.
So when we met, like at what point were you going through in your life when you reached out to our clinic?
Yeah, well, my path to healing and health has been a long one. So by the time I reached out to you guys, I mean, I had been involved in my own healing journey, kind of doing, for the most part, things on my own research, figuring things out, stuff like that, for literally years. I'm the kind of person that's always wanting to get better and be better. And even if I'm feeling pretty good, what can I do to feel even better? And also, I had some symptoms. And when I hit my 40s, things really sort of, I don't know, fell apart as maybe a little bit strong. But when I hit my 40s, I really started to have more symptoms, which led me to really taking a deeper dive into my healing journey. And I got so far. I'm 45 now, almost 46. And I reached out to you guys. So I was 5 years in to really doing a deep dive into my health.
So whatever you're comfortable sharing, what were some of those symptoms that you saw creeping in your life?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've dealt with some like emotional/mental stuff for a long time. So some anxiety stuff, depression when I was in my teens, a little bit of OCD. But the bigger thing for me more recently in recent years has been anxiety. And I think that it was made worse when hormones started to shift, perimenopause type stuff. So that was an issue for me too. And then all of that was complicated. I was thinking, and you kind of reaffirmed for me that that was, all of that was inflamed, I'll say, by gut issues and mm-hmm. some gut dysbiosis.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Like when we went over the labs, was there anything shocking to you? Obviously, you're very well read on this stuff anyway. So I'm curious to hear your answer on this. Like, was it all just validating and you knew intuitively that this was going to be things you had to be optimizing, or was anything surprising?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of surprising things there. And that's one thing I would say for anybody listening is that the great part about me finding you and working with you is all the testing that we did. You know, and I've heard other people say before, and I say it to people now, like, if you're not testing, you're just guessing. And that's kind of what I was doing. I got really far. I feel like I made some big improvements with my health. But until I got together with you and then ran the test to actually see what was happening, I didn't, you know, I was just taking stabs in the dark, really.
Yeah.
So anyway, there were a couple big surprises for me. Number one, and I had tests run initially with you, and then a couple months in, we did some more. So there were two sets of surprises. But the initial testing, I was shocked at my hormones, the testing that came back with my hormones, because I was like, I think my hormones levels, if you remember, were like, when I talked to you, were like, don't panic, but your hormones across the board are lower than somebody that would be in full-blown menopause, which yeah. I am not. So I like everything was low. So that was number one. And I was going, well, I can't believe I feel as good as I do with my hormones being this off. And then secondarily, the GI map, the gut stuff that we got back. And the reason why that was a surprise is because I had done that test on my own a couple years before. And when we did it together, when I did it with you, the test came back, it was worse, but I felt better. So to me, I had a conversation with you, like I've been doing so much stuff to work on my stress and my emotional health, like habit type things, you know, like self-affirmations and breath work and relaxation, meditation, that I felt so much better. But what was going on internally was actually a little bit worse. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So those were big surprises for me because I was like, okay, if I can actually work on what's happening on these inside, along with all the stress management stuff, wow, I could really feel good.
Yeah. Well, that's a really interesting point because actually these, when people hear this conversation, it's really, I wanted to make deep dives in that bi-directional relationship between our thoughts and emotions and our physical health and how mental health is physical health, but it's the other way around too. Our thoughts and emotions impact your physiology too. And I see some people, actually quite a bit of our patients, where they've done a lot of the mental, emotional, spiritual work. They've worked on past traumas. They have a lot of really effective tools within their toolbox to support the parasympathetic, to support that resting hormone-balanced digestive system, where they oftentimes will explain it in the way that you just said it, is that they have to get their physical to rise up and meet with their mental, emotional. And if anything, the work that you did do with breath work and meditation and affirmations and all this great mind-body connection stuff really was a saving grace to keep your function as great as it was. Because if you were not doing that, and I see many people that aren't doing the mental, emotional stuff, the spiritual stuff, or the physical stuff, they are really feeling it. So does that resonate with you? Do you feel like that was like your buffer in some ways?
100%. And for me, it wasn't, I did those things out of necessity just to live my life because I'm high functioning. I have a business, I've got kids, like, and taking, and no slouch to anybody that chooses medicine and other routes. But for me, that just wasn't an option. So I was like, I can't live my life with the symptoms I'm having. So I have to do whatever I can behaviorally to feel better and manage the stress and manage the anxiety. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
So it just wasn't an option. And that to me, yes, I think that's why even though, and then I got other lab results back with you down the road. And I'm sure that all those things that I was doing is the reason why I feel as good as I did, even though my labs were looking the way they did.
Yeah.
And that's what I just want to stress to everybody here is that hopefully as anybody listens to the podcast, it doesn't have to be and should not be either or, like mental health or physical health. Like it's really one and the same. And you have to deal with both sides of the coin. And some people have done one and not the other. And I'm just saying, whether you've done one, let's do both. And if you haven't done either, let's do both too. So like what people are going to be wondering now, like what was the second round of labs that we got? So basically, I'll just preface it a little bit. There were some inflammatory markers that we saw initially that were not moving the way that I wanted to the second round of labs. So we got some second opinions from different labs' perspectives to substantiate the labs. What did they find? What did the labs find?
Yeah, that was a shocker. Well, so what happened was, I think you wanted to do that testing initially, but I know myself and I had said to you, like, I know I obsessed about things and I don't want to be a diagnosis. Let's just go the path. And then part of my issue TMI, but that's how Brooke is. Constipation is still something I'm working with, but that was the biggest thing. And I wasn't getting anywhere with all the stuff we were doing. Hence the second round of tests. And those came back that I had like a chronic underlying mold infection coupled with Lyme. And that was like, I remember when you and I had that call, I almost fell out of my chair because I just couldn't believe it because I felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to see why these different inflammatory markers weren't coming down. You were doing so many amazing things and you were seeing good changes, but there were these stubborn areas. And part of this segment, I want people to just know that healing is nonlinear. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get discouraged. Like people that are doing a lot of amazing things, sometimes we have to really be clinical Sherlock Holmes in many ways to say, okay, why is the needle moving in all these areas, but not here? And you're right. I forgot about that. I actually recommended those labs at the beginning. But look, what I do appreciate about you, and I remember one of our first conversations is you said, if it's not gonna, like, I know you knew yourself and you said, I don't want to be worrying about all this stuff. And you had healthy boundaries with data. And I really commend that because most people don't say that and speak up for themselves in that way. And I don't want to run information to stress people out or add to their anxiety. And I really love that you advocated for yourself and said, you know what, like, let's focus on the things we know here. And when I'm ready, I'll go down that road. And you know what? You were ready at a certain point and we went down that road. Did you have to really work at being an advocate for yourself in that way? Or does that just come naturally for you?
Yes and no. I think when it comes to my health, especially when it comes to my health and my emotional health, just because I've been in some dark places in the past. So I know what works for me. I know what sets me off. I know what my triggers are. So I've gotten pretty good at least in those areas of advocating for myself. And I tell people that I talk to all the time, like, you have to be your own health advocate. That's like one of my mottos. So if I don't live it, I don't say it. And I just know, and I came to you because I had been researching you and listening to you and reading you, and I trusted you because trust can be an issue for me too. So I trusted you. And I have to say back at you, I appreciate you commending me for being a self-advocate, but I was so appreciative of you holding space for me to be that way and not, you know, saying, well, you really have to do this. And like, I'm a professional here, you know, that you, mm-hmm. From that regard, you handled that so well. And it gave me the ability to trust you more. And I was very pleased from the start that you listened to me and heard me. Mm-hmm. And we're fine with that. It was super helpful for me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, my thoughts on this is like that Dr. God complex it really isn't about me. It's not about me. And it's about you. And it's about what do you need and meeting somebody where they're at. And that is the science and art. That's what this whole podcast is about. It's the science and art of being well. And you have to hold space and you have to read the room, even if it's a virtual room. When I'm talking to people via Zoom and webcam all day long, you need to hold that virtual room and realize you don't really want to push, what do they say, a square peg through a round hole. You don't want to do that. It's just so gross to force somebody to do something just because you're the whatever professional. What was the most surprising thing within your healing journey? And where are you at now? Like, take people through what your journey has looked like so far. And we're not done yet. We're in the middle. This is like IRL, yeah, in real life, real time healing right now. But like, what's journey look like so far?
Yeah. So, well, I had several months of doing some work specifically on my gut, some SIBO stuff and things like that, and dysbiosis. And then I think it was January or February, we got the mold and Lyme back. So then I went into, you know, I'm a couple months in now to this really like detoxing the mold and the mold, this mold protocol that you have for me. And I think probably that there are two things that surprise me, maybe three. The sleep that I get now is so much better. I sleep, like I don't need to sleep as much because my quality of sleep is better and I sleep more deeply. So that's amazing. Obviously, when you're sleeping better, everything is better. Mm-hmm. So that's been great. And I think that another awesome thing is my energy is so much better during the day and all day. I don't have like that afternoon, like those are the things I think that are big surprises. The other surprise is, and actually it's not really a surprise because I know this, but the healing journey is not a straight uphill line. It's a lot of ups and downs, you know? And so I've definitely had moments where I'm like, ugh, I've hit this bump in the road, you know? And you're like, I'm doing all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Why am I still struggling going to the bathroom or whatever it is? And that's another thing I love about you all, you and your team, because you're so supportive there, you know? And if I've needed to make changes along the way, or like, let's try this instead, or maybe you should remove this. And also just listening and reassuring has been huge. So I think that's probably, and like you said, I'm just in the middle of it. I feel like I'm just getting started. And I didn't take this on thinking like it's going to just be 3 or 4 weeks and I'm going to be like 100% and feeling awesome. I know that when your body's doing the healing and you're not taking, you know, you're not looking for a quick fix, it takes time.
Yeah, 100%. No, I asked you because of that. I want people to just know the real stuff, like no glossy, this isn't a testimony. I just want people to know like what somebody's journey is. Like I get to do such amazing things to be a part of people's health journey. It is a sacred responsibility for me. And I just want people to know and different snapshots in people's journey. It's so fascinating and so interesting. And I'm honored to be a part of it. I want people to learn about all this amazing work that you do personally and just give your work a shout out. Like this is like a new season of your life and you're doing something really cool. Let me just say this. When I shared it on social media, the amount of engagement that got, that post that you wrote, it was crazy. And we'll put it in the show notes. Just people go to drworldcole.com and go to podcast and go to this episode and they can get the link to the article that you wrote. But can you share with people what's going on?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that. Yeah, my best friend and I from college, we've been together for over 20 years. And she and I are both have a big focus on health. We're both around the same age, you know, midlife. We both have kids that are getting older and leaving the house. And we were looking for what was next for us. So we started a company called Life After Kids Business. And it's an online space for women who are in midlife and some of them don't have kids. Most of them do. Mostly moms whose kids are getting older, more independent. Some of them leaving the house and they're going, well, what's next for me? Like, who am I now that I'm not mothering these kids all the time? And how do I put my best days ahead of me, not behind me? How do I thrive in midlife? So we have an online community, a safe place for women to just share and talk. And then we're getting ready to launch a digital course. We do some Enneagram work. My business partner is a certified Gallup strength coach. So she does some work there. So yeah, it's really exciting. That. Yeah.
Where can people go? Where are you at on social and what's the website?
The website is www.lifeafterkids.com. And Instagram is @life_afterkids.
Great. And now I have to ask, like, what Enneagram are you? Are you comfortable sharing that?
Oh my God. Yes, I'm very comfortable. And it will be of no surprise, probably. I'm a 6.
I would have guessed that. I'm no Enneagram expert, but I'm like, Brooke has to be a 6, right?
I'm a 6. Yeah, I'm a 6. I can pull sometimes to the 5, which is next door, which I know I've heard you say you are. So I can get a little bit analytical sometimes, but I swing over to 7 sometimes too. But yes, I'm a 6. And I think it's, you know, I don't want to take this conversation off and too far into a rabbit hole, but you know, just knowing that as a six, anxiety is kind of in my inner makeup helped me. Just knowing that, okay, this is me, this is my makeup. And now what am I going to do to deal with it and live with it in the best way that I can? Yeah. And that's kind of where you came into the picture too.
Yeah. I think that really, I think it comes full circle because one of the things that I need to know, and we talked about earlier of holding space and reading the room and knowing like the resonance, if you will, of like the dynamic you have with the, you know, for me, what I have with my patients or anybody has, like with somebody that they care about or they want to be a good support system to them. This applies to anybody. It's that you have to know who's, like I said, the square peg through a round hole. You have to know what that person is. And I think it's very helpful to know people's personality types, to meet them where they're at and to teach them in a way that they'll even receive. Because sometimes it's not, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it in many ways. And this applies to that. But yeah, I've told the team this before. I ask a lot of patients informally what their Enneagram is so I can better serve them. But I think we should start making it like a prerequisite whenever we have intakes. It's just like, how can we be the be there for them in the best way for them?
I love that. I think that would be a great addition to your intake forms. It's so true. The more you understand the patient, I think the better you can help them. I mean, you know, so the more information, the better.
That's it. Brooke, my friend, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back every Monday and Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.